FM 104.6. So over the last few weeks, we've met quite a number of the new council cabinet peeps, and we've had Laura Pearson-Wilcox come in, we had Jonathan Bacon come in, we had Debbie Andre, and this week we've got Ian Stevens. So, good afternoon, Ian Stevens.
Good afternoon, Ian.
How are you?
Nice to be here. Well, it's like old times. We come back and see you.
Well, so, do you know what's nice to see you? Because obviously we go back quite a way. Because I remember first interviewing you with what was her name? She over the Key Art Centre. You came in with her, and she was part of the group then. And now she's defected to the other side.
Vanessa.
She came in with you 2010. That would have been when we first kind of launched. So how long have you been a councillor now?
Since 2001.
So 20 years.
20 years of unbroken service. Some of my colleagues have had, you know, enforced a temporary retirement for a term or so, but I've been very fortunate, and the people that I represent have voted me in each time, so it's been very good.
So, you represent Ryde all that time?
Yeah, Ryde West, yeah.
Is that where you're from? Is that your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it is. I've moved of late, but still within Ryde. But, if you said to someone, where's Ryde West, well, you'd have to hazard a guess on the boundaries, wouldn't you?
Why don't they change that so we understand it a bit better?
Well, here we are.
I mean, even in Newport, I don't understand. Newport West, which is it? I don't know, I'm not sure. I mean, surely there's an easier way of doing it.
Well, you know, there is, but what you've got to realise is that once the Boundary Commission even get hold of Ryde West or some of the places in Newport, They divide them up into their districts or their wards, and mine, for instance, goes. I've got one half of Ratcliffe Avenue. You know, it goes down the centre of the road. So one side is mine, and the other side is in Haylands, and so it goes on. It's amazing, really. You know, so if there's a pothole, I don't know. I take it all on anyway. But if there was a pothole on one side of the road, and not the other side, you know, do you take that responsibility on, or do you notify the other councillor? It's quite ridiculous, really.
But there must be an easier way, a solution to making things a little bit easier. You mentioned potholes there, and I've got to say this, because obviously the last time we you've been in since, but obviously back in 2010, lots has happened in 11 years.
Yeah.
I was in Fordingbridge visiting my son last week, and the roads were awful. I was sat in the back of the car, and it was an uncomfortable ride in that Mercedes. It really was, but yeah, only because of the potholes.
Yeah.
Come over to the Isle of Wight now, and we've got superb roads compared to many places on the mainland.
Yeah, we're still working on it. I mean, and we got Phil Jordan now back in on the PFI and working with Island Roads and our contracts department. So we'll start to. I mean, there's lots of things need to be revisited and looked at, but we're heading in the right direction. And I think that, you know, in actual fact I voted against the PFI. I was the only one in council that actually said no to Island Roads. Basically, I thought that we could do it better and, if you like, more island-friendly if we employed people from Bayarden Vectis up at Newport, St George's down there, and Bennett's, and local companies such as that.
What's your thoughts now, though? 11 years on, what's your thoughts now? Because, I mean, any way you look at it, we've got brilliant roads.
We got brilliant roads, but we haven't got the roads, and we haven't got the highways that we were. The idea was sold to us that it was going to be from one boundary to the other boundary, including footpaths and curbs and gutters, as well as the road surfaces. So we haven't got what those people way back when voted for, and you've only got to look at the grass verges, etc., that aren't being cut now. Whether you're for that and you want wildflowers there, you know, we tried to do that with Louisa Hillard when we last were in control in the Isle of Wight Council. Louisa did a lot of work on, wildflowers and, making sure that we were going towards a sustainable island with our own food and energy products, you know.
I mean, I'll take your point on the verges and things, but I still think the majority of Islanders will be well chuffed with the state of the roads now, because I never thought that that would happen. And I was like you probably back then, a sceptic, and looking at this and thinking it never happened. But I look at the roads now and I think, I don't mind driving on them. Yeah. I don't mind driving. Before, I'd think, well, I don't want to drive my car down that road, because you'd avoid certain roads because they were so, so bad. But, you know, there's a little bit of work to be done, but it ain't over yet, is it?
No, it's certainly not over. And don't forget, we're still paying, all of our council taxpayers, nothing's coming free here. I mean, you're still paying about between six and eight million per annum towards the contract. Yeah. It's not all coming from the central government. It's, you know...
Nothing's free, though, Ian, is
Nothing's
it?
Nothing's free.
Let's be honest.
But would you sooner put $6-8 million to roads, or would you sooner take $4 million out or $3 million out and put it into healthcare or social care for the elderly or something for our young people? I don't know. This is the balancing act, or the balance with the books that you have to do when you're in the Isle of Wight Council. We're not going to be afraid to make decisions on that, Ian, I can assure you of that.
But the thing is, when it comes down to it, and this is what people need to understand, and that is, you only get X amount from the government, and you've got to cut your cloth accordingly.
Absolutely. Since 2010, for every pound we used to get, now we're getting 40 pence. So you work that out. We're losing 60 pence in the pound.
That seems to be a lot, isn't it?
It's a hell of a lot when you've still got to provide the services.
I mean, we were outside and we were kind of getting grumpy. But, I mean, I don't want to be grumpy on a day like today, because, you know, there's a lot of positives and we should look at the positives. But we were saying, and I was having a conversation with, I think it was the wife, we were walking through and we were saying, when they built this estate here, they didn't put X, Y, and Z in. And when they built that estate there, they didn't put X, Y, and Z in. And when they get planning permission to build another 800 or 900 houses here, there, and just about every blooming where, I look at it and think the first thing that they should do is surely have some kind of, you mentioned, health system in place. And that is, have a doctor's surgery, have a, you know, local doctor's surgery, have a, you know, a dentist in the same place maybe, and a pharmacist. And, you know, in none of these places that have been built in the last 20 years, I'm fairly certain there's none of those things. And you think, if you're building houses, 800-900 you know, houses, that's a lot of people moving in. That's going to put pressure on the infrastructure that's already here when it regards to dentists, regards to doctors, and so on. I mean, in the future, when we say yes to houses, because I know that there's plans to build and we're under pressure from government to have to build all of these things, is there going to be, you know, an insistence of, we've got to have these things in place because, you know, people need doctors. We were talking about the times when you didn't have to wait 10 days or 2 weeks to have an appointment, and you had a dentist. Yeah. Everyone had a dentist, but now we seem to be struggling. So the more we build, the more we do, the more problems we're going to give ourselves, not straight away, but not long after.
You're right. I think that, you know, society's suffering, you know, and it's throughout the UK. We haven't got enough doctors. We haven't got enough nurses. We haven't got enough dentists, and so on and so forth. We need to start at a government level, I think, to start to offer incentives for people to go into those professions. And instead of running up a debt as a student, possibly come out from getting their degrees and getting into their first position, you know, for their career, get some assistance. Start to get an inducement to get people into those professions, because without the inducement, I don't think those things look that attractive. People that do get trained up go for the bigger buck elsewhere. They might be going to the USA or somewhere like that to gain their experience, etc., overseas. You know, much the same as we try and attract, if you like, people from other countries to come here. But really, we need to start to grow our own. I think we, you know, that's not just about the professionals. That's about our people here. We need to get our allied trades. We need to get our plumbers, our electricians, you know, from our schools, trained, locally, working locally, and actually then we can actually start to talk about the pound. And if ever anyone wants to talk about an island deal, and to be quite honest, I was the first one to coin that phrase, although others have laid claim to it. But what I say is the island deal is a deal that you... that everyone gets, not just the Isle of Wight Council.
Mm.
Now, when I mention Island Deal, I mention that I don't want £5 out of a leaky bucket, thank you, from the government. What I want are goods and services from the government. I always quote the Meteorological Office going to Exeter. I was in Exeter on part of a national role I was doing. And I spoke with them. They said they get 17.5 million in turnover from people who work and support the Met Office because that's in Exeter. Now, what I'd like the government to do is to say, OK, and I did put this to a minister, by the way, why don't we have HM Prisons admin on the Isle of Wight at Camp Hill? I said that going way back. They said, oh, well, you know, you've got to speak to the Ministry of Justice and because that's their land. But I said that would do more good for the island than what did they get last year, 50-odd thousand, something like that. I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about industries that can support those types of, if you like, facilities and centres. I'm not after £5 out of the bucket. I mean, that's ludicrous. What we need is some incentive, some good thing. Like, as I said, if they can put the Met Office down in Exeter, they can shift BBC to Manchester. What couldn't they do for the Isle of Wight?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I honestly look at us now as a nation, but I think you're not going to fix the nation. We can't, but we can make the island better.
Absolutely.
And I look at the island, and I think this could be a centre of excellence for a number of things. I know that we will fail if we continue with the same outlook that we've got. If we're not forward thinking, the world's moving, the world's changing. I mean, just say, for instance, you know, we've got this period of time, we've got young people that are 16 that are now not at school because they've done exams and they're waiting to start sixth form. So they've been given 6 weeks off. And with some adjustments and some forward thinking, I look at this situation and I think, most of the kids that come in here for the last 5-6 years have all moaned and groaned about having exams in the hottest period of the year, and they want to have exams in a cooler time so they can concentrate better. And I look at it and I think, let's listen to that. Let's just listen to that. Some people will say, no, you can't change because it's in concrete. Well, if it's in concrete, we're never going to fix it, I'm afraid. And we're just to go round and round in circles. Move the exams. I mean, I got quite grumpy last year that we didn't have the exams because of. No, we could have done. We could have put them off. We could have planned it better. We let those kids down. We're forever letting those kids down because we're not moving the exams. I say move those exams to October, a cooler period of time. And then they can then... after their exams, they can then have half term, and then they've got that period, those 6 weeks that they would normally get. I would say it won't be 6 weeks because it will go up to Christmas, but we're going to send you on work experience, not for a week like they do. Mickey Mouse work experience things for a week. That's not going to do them any good at all. Send them out for a month. Send them out to a month and get as many companies and as many businesses involved as possible. You can send these youngsters through. But I know that I look at that and I think that means you've got to change quite a bit and nobody will want to do it. Well, that's fine. If you want to keep things the way that they are now and we're failing, and they will, and we'll struggle because things aren't moving in the way that they should be. You just take, for instance, you've got young kids now that are supposedly interested in technology, and out there now you've got YouTubers, and the mentality is, for some people, that's not a job. Oh, but it is, and it's a worthwhile job. Yeah. And there's fantastic amounts of money to be earned. Are we teaching that? Are we showing people that? No, we're not. And that's one door that we can open for these young people. And if there's anything that we owe these people that are coming through, it's a future.
Absolutely.
And not the same future that they're going to get churned out year after year. We need to make some changes. We need some forward thinkers.
Absolutely. And absolutely. I totally agree with you. And to that end, when once again I was leader, I took it for 2 years. Then I stepped aside because of my national role. That was the primary reason. I also stood in the general election, as you well remember. But it was mainly my national role, because I always think that a leader of the Isle of Wight Council should be Ireland-centric. And that was why I stepped aside last time. Jonathan Bacon came in, if you remember.
Yeah.
It was basically, you need to have your focus on the Isle of Wight. And what I had suggested at that time was to have, similar to what you're saying, work experience, but actually, you know, this is the start of an apprenticeship. If you go somewhere and someone takes you on and they're paid X amount of money to do that, and it works as a good fit. Now you have 6 weeks, 6 weeks trial, that whether your new boss or works manager or whoever he is, if he gets on with you and you get on with him and you can gel together and work well together and you start to learn, then you've got your permanent apprentice. If you're not, and you find that you're a square peg in a round hole, and you suddenly think that, well, you know, plumbing isn't the greatest thing I thought it was going to be, or whatever line you're going into, then you have the capability of stepping back out, no harm done, and so does the employer, can say, look, sorry, but you're not really made for this sort of environment or job. And I think that if we did that, people would not be fearful of actually giving apprenticeships out. And I think that also young people going into and liking the sound of an apprenticeship but being afraid that they're not going to be able to crack it would also have that benefit. It was just an idea that I thought about, and I was talking with what's his name, Smith, who used to be the chief exec over at the Chamber.
Was it Kevin Smith?
Kevin, yeah. And Kevin and myself got on well together. We rewrote a memorandum of understanding between the Chamber and the Isle of Wight Council. I'd like to, this time out, resurrect that, see where we're going with that. I also, when I was leader, had the Federation for Small Businesses in, and they came in. Because I had an open door policy, and those people could come in, tell me what they thought their industries needed, etc., and we would try and work together to achieve it. It was early days when, as I said, we'd got Cowes High School finished building, because that was, if you remember rightly, Pill UK and Pill Europe went bust, and we had a half finished school at Cowes. Now, yeah. Well, we fixed that, Ian. We also did the, because the education system and the social care system was failing, we fixed that. This time we're fixing other things. You know, we will get there. People say things about independence that they couldn't agree on anything. We agree that we want a better island, and all we've got to do then is say, okay, how are we going to get there?
But I've said this to everybody that's come in. I mean, I'm not interested in politics.
No, nor am I.
Politics is dull and boring, and we should, you know, that needs revamping as well, to be quite honest. Yeah. But I look at it and I think, and I bet we have. I bet we've got 39 councillors that are wanting to make a difference, but they all want to make a difference in a different way that is hampered by political parties. And I say, take those political parties out of the situation, you then got 39 people that want to make a difference. Right, let's work together and make a difference then. Yeah. I mean, it's not rocket science, but that's where I speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there that feel exactly the same way. I'm not interested in the Conservatives. I'm not interested in Labour or all the others. All I am interested in is 39 people that live on the island, have been voted in to represent and do the best they possibly can. So let's get on with it and work together. Let's come back to you now, because obviously, you know, you were leader, you were this, you were that, and now you are the deputy leader and you've got a portfolio as well. Let's talk about the portfolio. What's that?
Go for it. Right, well, it's a varied portfolio. It runs from the new website and, well, the web services and indeed IT, corporate IT, also homelessness and housing. And I'm doing safer communities as well. Community safety is a big thing with me anyway. So as I have been dealing with the fire service nationally for about three to four years, I'm now obviously dealing with that on a local on a local basis, along with the policing and indeed community safety team. So it's really all about the community for me, and making sure that we got a good fit.
There's a lot of stuff there, Ian.
Yeah.
I mean, have you got a team of people working with you? I mean, you said when you came in you was tired and there's a lot going on and you're busy.
No, look, we've got staff that have been doing this for quite a while, and to be quite candid, I'm not going to be doing the work as much as steering the work onto a better and more useful things. If I see a way forward, if not, cementing what we have got and trying to reinforce their areas. You know, I'm already speaking to the Police and Crime Commissioner with regards to possibly more policing. Or definitely more policing. She's actually agreed to that, but I want to get our fair share for the Isle of Wight, and indeed police stations as well. That's one thing on that side. The other side is obviously previous administration signed up with Hampshire Fire for the Isle of Wight fire service. Now they also passed over the buildings, the estate, Shanklands Fire Station, Ride Fire Station, etc., etc. Now, in doing that, Hampshire Fire said that they would be upgrading the buildings. Now, I would never have given the freehold away, but that's by the by. It's the trains left the station.
Yeah.
But what I did say to Hampshire Fire when I was over there last week, okay, You said you were going to upgrade those fire stations. When you're starting and how much you're putting in?
Yeah, good question. And what do they say?
He said, "Oh, we're looking into that now." I said, "Well, you know, as soon as you look into it," I said, "I want one the figure, and two, I want the work schedule."
Yeah.
So, 3 days later, back came the figure. I think it was like 600 million, excuse me for that, to be spent on Isle of Wight fire stations, right? Great. So let's get them upgraded. You know, I want our firefighters to do a damn fine job on this island. I want them to have the best facilities that they can get.
Too right.
So that's that one. And if I can say, you know, that they've actually now issued a press release saying what they're going to do.
Well, that's good.
So, you know, I don't want them to keep quiet and change their mind halfway through the year. I want them to actually say what they're going to do, and then I'll hold them to account.
So we were talking out there, and I was saying what I felt, and lived on the island a long time, and, you know, knew that, you know, in the days there were police stations, proper police stations, in all the major towns. And now we kind of don't have that anymore, but we've got more people living here. And I would imagine, you know, I don't have any figures, but there seems to be, you know, you open up the papers, there's a lot of people doing drugs. There's a lot [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of people dealing it as well and smoking funny stuff. There's a lot of people breaking rules and regulations, but we seem to have less coppers, less police out there, less police stations. And, you know, we're lucky in Newport. We got a big police station and it's still there. But if you live in any other major town, and I was really surprised at this when you told me that Ryde is the most densely populated town on the island. And does it have a proper police station like what we got?
No.
And
there's
just
no custody suite.
I mean, to me, that seems to me, and you made a point of, go on, you make the point about, you know, the time wasted on that.
Well, the time wasted, if you start to realise that someone can be arrested on Ryde Seafront, shall we say, where are you going to take him? All the way to Newport. So you've got virtually a 7 mile drive to Newport Police Station. You've got to book them in, and then they're held in that custody suite, and then you go back to your duty in Ryde.
And by that time, other people are misbehaving and doing all sorts.
Exactly, Ian. And to me, you know, we've got a perfectly good custody suite in Ryde Police Station in Newport Street in Ryde. And why isn't that in use? It's closed because of financial pressures. Well, the financial pressures of actually when you take someone to Newport and book them in there and then go back on your beat must be quite telling. All I'll say is that I was out with the police in Ventnor on going back a few years on Carnival night in Ventnor. And we arrested someone and we brought them all the way into Newport, and it was at the time when St Mary's Hospital building had been invaded by a load of people. So they were in the exercise yard. In actual fact, we didn't have anywhere to put this person. You know, it was overcrowded in Newport, and they had these people from, as I say, from St Mary's. They'd arrested a lot of them, brought them down to Newport Police Station. They had nowhere to put them, but they put them out in the exercise yard in Newport Police Station. It's horrendous. It's not the way that we need to arrest people and for offences on the island. We need to make sure that they're arrested, taken out of harm's way, allowing people to get on with their lives quite freely and away from any fear of any wrongdoing. That's my opinion. You know, I really don't think that we should be curtailed by a few pennies here and a few pennies there. When you hear, or I heard with the last Police and Crime Commissioner, I'm going to check what's going on with Donna Jones now, to make sure that money is directed at policing aspects and not at redoing the interior of an office.
No, absolutely. Honestly, we've got to get more bobbies on the street. That's what she said we're going to get.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it makes perfect sense to have, you know, major towns have to have their own police station. Otherwise, they're going to spend an awful lot of time travelling from, from wherever they are to the main police station in Newport, which, of course, is also limited on when it's opened as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was chucked in the slammer one night for misbehaving back in 1980. I mean, nowadays, it would be a case of, well, we're shut. We can't. Yeah. You have to go home and be naughty. But yeah, I'm being facetious. But I mean, at the same time, I think we just need more bobbies on the beat to protect the people. And because of the pandemic, there seems to be a drug problem on the island. There seems to be a big drug problem on the island, and what I don't want this to happen is we come out of this pandemic and that's still a problem because someone's taken root.
Yeah.
With drugs. We've got a lot of young, impressionable people here, and we need to be putting them first.
Absolutely.
When you were last in, we had a conversation about the prison.
Yeah.
And there's been lots of talk about, because we had this, if I chucked an idea at you, and I said, we had a problem with the hospital because there seems to be bottlenecks. We've got a lot of people that go in, have operations, and then they have to stay there to recuperate. And wouldn't it be nice if we could open up the prison and have a system up there where, okay, you go up there to recuperate so people can keep coming into the hospital. And I look at that big building up there, and I've heard so many rumours about what's going to happen. Is there anything ever going to happen to it?
Well, I think you'll find that I take you mean Park... Camp Hill.
Camp Hill, yeah.
Yeah, Camp Hill. No, there is. They don't want to get. I think that the Homes England, it's called now. We're dealing with Homes England and through them to the Ministry of Justice. Now, I think they want to keep the prison side of it, but the estate around it. I think that looks like there might well be some leeway there to move forward housing and that type of thing, but. I always said, you know, when I was leader, and I said when they closed Camp Hill, I always said that, you know, why don't you move the minister, HM Prisons admin to the Isle of Wight, and providing jobs, etc. You know, and I'd still stick by that. We don't want £5 out the leaky bucket. Thanks. We'll have jobs created on the Isle of Wight by. Something that the government can control nationally. And why can't we have it on the Isle of Wight, as I've said to you in the past? The Met Office down in Exeter brings to Exeter City £17.5 million. Well, if we had something like HM Prisons admin at Camp Hill, we would be looking at probably the same sort of figure. You know, 17.5 million injected into the Isle of Wight with salaries and wages and people spending money in our shops, people supplying the new administrative offices. You know, whether it be the butchers, the bakers, or the candlestick makers, you know, we'd have enough people there, working on the supporting industries to keep it going, and that will be my island deal, and that, you know, something akin to that.
Is it achievable? Will it happen? Can it happen?
We've got to lobby for the right things. We've got to lobby for the right we all know that we want more money and more jobs on the Isle of Wight, but it's not as easy to go to Treasury and say, give us £5 out the till. Because I tell you, like they've told me in the past, we ain't got £5 to give you.
No.
You know, but what they can do is what they've done with the BBC. You know, BBC would have looked good on the Isle of Wight, not Manchester, wouldn't it? We could have had something, instead of BBC in Manchester, BBC Isle of Wight. I know it sounds farcical, but that's the type of thing. HM Prisons Admin on the Isle of Wight. It's a damn sight cheaper to put something on the Isle of Wight and buy the land, or if you've got the land, etc. The Isle of Wight is a very, very good place to actually set up a business and run it. If you're only transporting, like you are, across the airwaves, I'm not being funny, you know. These are the things in this day and age, with the IT that there is, you know, and the communications networks that we've got nowadays. The Isle of Wight could be the jewel in the crown for the South Coast, I'll tell you that.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously need to all be singing off the same hymn sheet and go for it, and a louder voice, and say this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, there's a plan afoot. What do you think you're going to achieve in the next 4 years? What have you set your sights on? What's a success?
The success of the Isle of Wight Council is to make sure that we can support our people better, and I'm talking about our homelessness and those in need. And I'm looking at that end, because if we can get that right, and if we can get things right, I think that we'll solve a lot of society's problems as well. Because I want to see us working together with the police and with our social care colleagues and health to make the island a healthier and better place, somewhere where people would love to come and spend time. You know, I think that that's one of the things. But I also feel that when we're talking about aims and objectives and what we want to bring to the island, or what we want for the island, is that we want a safer place, a healthier place, somewhere where it's not just about children, it's about our youths and our young adults, where they feel that they've got a future, where you can actually turn around and say, look, we've done a damn good job here, we've created jobs, we've, you know. And that's the thing, is job creation schemes, and really talking, leaving that door open again, like I did last time, starting to talk, you know, with the Chamber, with the Federation for Small Businesses, with the business associations, with individual employers and small businesses, one-man bands. We should be helping, even if you're a one-man band plumber or something like that. I always said, when I was talking to previously, when I was leader, I said we could be the call centre for the Isle of Wight. We could have a call centre where if Joe Bloggs, the plumber, is down underneath a sink, he doesn't have to worry about his mobile ringing, because that call will be answered at a call centre, and we would charge just a small call handling charge for accepting the call, taking the call and passing it on to them.
Wasn't that why Ascensos was set up?
Well...
well, <yeah. laughs> Come on, what does that mean? Well...
No comment.
All right, okay. That was a big building. I mean, I visited there and I was really impressed with the premises, and they were doing great business, and it was moving in the right direction. And, you know, they got up, so they employed a number of people. They didn't quite get to the figures that they were supposed to have gone or they wanted to get to. And I don't know the politics of it all, but I mean, you know, that was there and it was going to be the next big, you know, it was going to be the next big thing.
Well, I was talking my talk in one direction and others were talking a talk in another direction, Ian. We didn't quite get in sync with that one. I don't want to go into too much because it sounds like it's political. It wasn't political. It was basically okay. I had the thought of actually expanding the Isle of Wight Council call centre and making that the all-singing, all-dancing call centre for the Isle of Wight. And others went elsewhere and spoke to other people.
Right.
And it didn't go down with me then, and it certainly doesn't go down with me now. Because, as you quite rightly said just a few moments ago, we've all got to get there on the same page, singing out the same hymn book.
Yeah.
Because without it, we end up with something that's not totally reflective of what we want.
We're stronger together.
Absolutely.
You know, if we're going to be fighting each other, we've got no chance. Absolutely no chance. We'll just go round and round and round in circles. And I say it again, 39 people that all want the same thing. Remove the colours. Remove the shackles, the political shackles that stops you from being a good person, a decent person and a forward thinker.
Yeah.
Remove all of that and you've all got one thing in common, the Isle of Wight.
Absolutely.
You want to make it better, a better place, then that's the only way this will work. And I would say that to all 39 councillors that have been elected, that's what I would say to you. If you really, really want to make a difference, it's in your hands. Yeah. Those political shackles, take them away. Focus on what you need to focus on. Otherwise, the restrictions are there to stop you from making this island the place that it should be. It's not rocket science.
No, and to be quite candid, Ian, I'm an independent. I've got no political persuasion at all. I don't lean in any direction. And it comes in very handy because when I'm doing an LGA role, then I'm chairing cross-party political groups. You know, I've got lead members from the Conservatives, the Labour and Lib Dems, as well as my independent and indeed Green Party and indeed, would you believe, Plaid from, Plaid Cymru from Wales and what have you. They're all on my committee, you know, on committees that I've chaired and what have you. And the politics don't even enter the room, you know, and, you know, there's only once when someone had and this is in all the time I've done it, once when someone had a snidey comment made and I just stopped it there and then. But that's the only once have I had someone making a political aside to someone. Apart from that, we've handled it and we've got the best that we possibly can out of the committees I've been on.
I've worked with all sorts of people in the last 7 years with Vectis and the 4Ps training school. I've worked with some really good people that are from all parties. And the one thing I will say, and I won't name them, but I've enjoyed my time working with them. And the one thing that I would say to them, to do things better, you would have to remove those political shackles. You've done a good job, but you could have been better if you'd have removed the shackles. And we could have moved so much further. I could sum up politics in 30 seconds in the last 10 years. The last 10 years, we've had the Conservative Party, who I think have been absolutely poor. But the bad thing is that the opposition have been even worse. And that's it, national politics. That's the reason why you've got a Conservative government is because you have no opposition. And they got to look at themselves, and that's it. That's probably more than 30 seconds. But that's it. That's to me, that's politics of the last 10 years. And I would imagine there's an element of that that has crept in to local politics. But I do believe we've got some decent people from all parties. We've got some decent people that all want the same thing. And I think that is a positive. That's where we can build. So do you see things happening in the next 3 months? 6 months? When can we expect some real big positivity?
Well, I think there was, you know, we've started. We've, you know, from from the last term of council, everything seemed, if it wasn't, everything seemed to be shut down and locked down with regards to, you know, the running of the council and what was happening. Not the full story was told all the time. Now, I don't mind that so much, but what I would like is some things need to be brought out. Some things need to be scrutinised. There was no direction. There was nothing. I mean, the Salvation Army hostel in Ryde is on the border of my ward. There was problems going on in that hostel or outside of the hostel, and so I started some meetings. Now, when it was, I had the Salvation Army there. I had our social care people there, the homelessness department, and the police and residents. And it worked well, Ian. It worked well. You know, people had suddenly started to get trust in each other, and they weren't going to bombard the Salvation Army saying you're not looking after your people, etc., etc. And we weren't getting police, being criticised, etc. We were actually doing some good work. And then suddenly, someone in the previous administration told the police because I was only an ordinary member. Just said, OK, well, you're not holding those meetings anymore. Don't attend.
Right, OK.
And they stopped it. But they weren't prepared to hold the meetings anyway.
Mm.
So, you know, there wasn't this togetherness. There should be on items like that. Let's face it, it's for the public good. It's not to feather my nest. It certainly wasn't to feather a resident's nest or indeed the police, but it's wrong.
Let's hope that the next 4 years that we can all work together and make sure that the island gets the best treatment it deserves. It's almost 10:02 and you've got to go anyway because you've got a meeting. So will you come back in 3 months and tell us how things are going?
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any time. And what you'll get is openness from me. No flowery stuff that's stuck on the wall.
I wouldn't expect it any other way, Ian.
You know me.
Thanks for coming in. Good to see you. Take good care of yourself.